Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. It's been a while since I've been at Good Shepherd Church to be a part of worship. We used to have a community Thanksgiving service. Eric, still have those?
No.
Okay, my goodness. Well,
COVID, so, you know.
Pardon me?
Not with COVID.
Not with COVID. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that you're trying to stay safe, but that's probably the last time I was in this church, and I really appreciate the opportunity that Pastor Robert has given me to be here and help be a part of worship. I like where you position the sermon. It's probably like, okay, let's both get it over with. You get it over with, and we'll get it over with. But well, I'm so glad to be with you today. I kind of feel like one of those episodes you see on TV about what happened to that band that you liked, you know, after they had the one-hit wonder kind of thing, and what happened to them. So 5 years ago this month, I became the Western Area Manager for the North Carolina Baptist Foundation, which basically says I have Charlotte and everything to the west in North Carolina. Some of my folks over in Hendersonville and Asheville say, Alan, Charlotte is not in the west. And I say, you got to start somewhere, you know. And so I have that whole area. And it's been a wonderful and interesting ministry. I was pastor at Candwick Baptist for 21 years. And then about 18 months after I left, they went and merged with another congregation. And they're Mercy Church now. And I've not been back. But anyway, they have a good and thriving congregation going on. They're still Baptist, even though they don't have it in the name. I hope that you are here today with a heart that's open to think about a topic I want to share with you today about a sacrifice of praise. I've been thinking, with a little less than a week for our National Day of Thanksgiving, about sacrifice of praise. And I want to invite you to join the cogitations with me this morning to think about that. Perhaps you know that older little chorus that goes, "We bring a sacrifice of praise." You know that song, Eric? "We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And offer up to you the sacrifice of joy." We like to sing stuff like that sometimes, not even knowing where it comes from. It's just catchy and we like it. But I want to give you a biblical context for a sacrifice of praise, which is our major scripture passage today from Hebrews 13, verse 15. And it was up there just a few moments ago, but I'm going to just read that with you. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there and keep your finger there, or have your Bibles open for some other passages later on, you can do so. But this is what the scripture says. This is the word of the Lord. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity of being worshiped today. There have been so many tremendous hardships that we have waded through in the last year or more. Things have opened up a little more this year than they were in 2020, but then we've been dashed on the rocks, been disappointed because things are not like they once were. We are trying to find our footing with regard to the new normal, whatever that is. And then we've had some other challenges in our personal lives, things of which you're aware of in each of our journeys in this life. You have not forgotten nor taken notice of the joys, but also the tragedies that have come upon us. And we're grateful in this time of worship today that we can bring all of that, the good, the bad, the ugly, in front of you. And we thank you, Lord, that as we gather in this place, we can have the affirmation of your love and your goodness. And we can open our hearts now by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to speak to us from your word. So our hearts are pointed toward you now. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Immediately, most of us hear the phrase, a sacrifice of praise, and knowing that perhaps the term of sacrifice and praise seem to be opposites of one another. We think of sacrifice as an offering up of something at great cost to ourselves. Indeed, the Greek word behind the sacrifice word here in this passage that we've read, comes from a verb that means to kill or to slaughter for a purpose. And that sounds like a real buzzkill to us, doesn't it? Then we read the word praise, and on the other hand, it sounds joyful. It sounds like something that is bubbling up from inside of us, from inside a grateful heart. And we like the sound of praise. It sounds like joy. It sounds like fun. It sounds like something that we would like to do, that we'd like to be involved in. Yet in the spiritual sense, when you take the word sacrifice and praise, they are intricately intertwined. Let me tell you how. Often in life, praise doesn't always come with something that costs us something. I mean, we praise our dog for fetching the ball. We may praise people for a job well done because they have done well in the work situation, without really much effort on our part. You see, often the way we see and use praise is a response to some action that directly benefits us. And if we feel generous enough, we extend it to whomever has benefited us. We often find it easy to praise God in the very same way, with the very same motivation. When he has blessed us and helped us and protected us, we feel generous toward him. We sing, we worship, we talk about how good he is because we can see it and because we have experienced it. That's the kind of praise, although worthwhile, that doesn't really cost us anything as well. It's not a sacrifice. And two, we must be careful. Otherwise, we can make our praising and thanksgiving a platform for evaluating the goodness and the mercy and the efforts of God. And listen, that's not real biblical praise. We read just a few moments ago, Psalm 109. Here's what the first verse says once again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We praise and give thanks to God not as a job performance. Think about that. But because of who God is, because of his love, because of his character, and yes, because of his actions and benefits, but these are only the extensions of who God is in himself. Because, let's be honest, there are some times when God did not come through the way we thought he should. A medical test comes back positive. People we've known and loved and had affection for, they got COVID in this last 18 months, 2 years, and they're gone from us now. Or your spouse wants a divorce. Or a child is wayward. Or the mortgage company has called and they're calling in your loan. Or your health insurance gets canceled. Yes, I could go on, but sometimes God seems very far away, and praise is the last thing to bubble up from our hearts. We can't see his goodness, and circumstances seem to scream to us that he has forgotten us. the praise God, to praise God in these times requires personal sacrifice. It takes an act of the will to lay out all on the altar before God, whom we don't often understand in these circumstances. It really means to kill our pride, our fear, our unbelief, or our apathy. Anything that is within us that threatens to diminish or interfere with our faith connection to the Lord. Well, you see, when we bring a sacrifice of praise, we choose to believe that even though life is not going as we think it should, that God is still good and still can be trusted. When we think we may not make it, His love endures forever. Truly, the archetype for a troubled life will always be Job from the Old Testament. I'm not going to recite all the perils that came upon Job's life, all the hardships that he had. And by the way, these came upon him not because he was being unfaithful to the Lord, for he was faithful. But in the midst of these tragedies, I want to share with you the words of Job himself, who himself must have learned that sacrifice of praise. This is what it says in Job 13:15. By the way, one other scripture was Hebrews 13:15. Isn't that interesting? This is what he says. He's talking to the Lord, or about the Lord, I should say. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Was that hard? You bet it was. Harder than most of us had it. But it was his sacrifice of praise. When we choose to praise God in spite of the storms, he is honored. And our faith connection with him grows deeper and deeper and stronger. So, how do you offer to God a sacrifice of praise, whether in good times or hard times? Well, Hebrews 13:15, if you still have your finger there in your Bibles, you can see it has something of a formula, as it were. In other words, the means, the manner, and the mode of making that sacrifice of praise. First is the means. The means, as the scripture indicates in this passage, is through Jesus. This basically means, like in all things, our relationship with Jesus and Jesus himself is the key component. He has come to us as God in the flesh, taking on all that life has to offer, with all of its assaults, with all of its happiness, with all of its joy, and with all of its difficulties as well. And we are to look to him as how to offer our sacrifice of praise. Let me say quickly, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the nature of our praise sacrifice has changed. This is what Romans 6:10 says. Indicates the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So, because of his death, we no longer have to sacrifice like the faithful people of the Old Testament. That's a time that has passed. Jesus showed us that our sacrifice is a sacrifice of the heart. The sacrifice of a life to love God in all things and with all we are, and to be in service to one another. We learn from him how to suffer with faith in our hearts. And we learn from him how to die with love in our souls. And his resurrection shows us That hope is real. That hope is alive. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God which he has for us in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, that's not to make light of our hardships or our difficulties or our sadness or our griefs or our pains. To say that they are not punishing, perhaps even horrible in your sight, but it's to change them. He has transformed them. And perhaps for some already, he has redeemed them so that no matter who you are or what happens to your life, the Lord Jesus is still there with you, battling alongside you. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 is one of my favorite scriptures. In the Contemporary English Version, it says this: Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. So whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved kindness and we'll find help. We can bring a sacrifice of praise because Jesus has been through it as well. And he gives hope and help to us now. Our sacrifice of praise comes through one who loves us and believes in us. And most of all, who knows what this life is like. Secondly, the manner of our sacrifice of praise is continually. Continually. You see that in our scripture. The implication here is simple. It's to become a part of who we are, our lifestyle. As I indicated already, our praise of God is not to be based on our opinion of his job performance. Praise cannot be treated as a reward we give to God for his obvious blessings. Praise is to flow from who we know him to be in relationship with him. Try on this thought. In the scriptures, we're enjoined to give thanks, to be joyful, to offer praise. We are not told to feel thankful or to feel joyful or to feel praiseful. Is that a word? The sacrifice of praise can be continual because God has a hold on our lives and continually if we are one of his children. One of my favorite Bible passages is in, in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. And I find myself often reading it in funeral services because it's important to know that in those times of God's love. But I also find that God affirms his hold on our lives every day in this passage. Listen to the scriptures. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. And Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I once read that Alexander White, a Scottish preacher, probably a Presbyterian. There are a lot of those in Scotland. He always began his prayers with an attitude of gratitude. One cold, miserable day, his people wondered what he would say. And he began his prayer with these words: "We thank you, O Lord, that it's not always like this." Our sacrifice of praise can be continual because his love for us is continual. It is who he is. His love endures forever. And it's not always going to be like this in your life. Finally, and the third is the mode of our sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of your lips. That simply means that we are to offer the praises of God, the sacrifice of praise, when we tell someone about who God is and what he has done. And we do that first to him. And then we do it for others, or to others. That's what I used to love about our community Thanksgiving service, Eric. That's the reason I mentioned that a while ago. I don't know how many of you are part of that the groups that used to gather in our various churches in Candlewick and this church and Wesley and some of the others that are around. But we used to gather and we used to spend time letting people share the testimonies of what God had done for and in their lives. You all remember that? How many? Raise your hand if you remember that. Yeah, that was my favorite part. Yes, we gather together, and singing is important in that community service, and hearing the preaching of God's word, and we began celebrating the Lord's Supper as well. But the best was that sacrifice of praise from the fruit of the lips of the people who gathered, and to hear and to celebrate how God had showed up in your lives, to experience that sacrifice of praise to him. And with one another. That's what I urge you to do with your families this week. On this Thanksgiving day. I mean, do it with this fellowship. Every time you gather. Every Sunday when you gather. Even do it virtually. But most of all, do it with your neighbors and friends. Do it, people who are languishing in the brokenness and the pains of this life, who may not have heard nor know that God has come to us in Christ Jesus, and there is new, wonderful, good news that he is for us and not against us. Yes, some of their difficulties may be because the foolishness of decisions of a misspent life, but resulting in their life being very far from God. But isn't that the very people to whom Jesus was sent? For whom he came? Can we do any less as the body of Christ? Tell someone this week how God showed up. Maybe showed off. But most of all, how he loves and gives and cares and forgives and blesses and allows us to begin again with him in faith. The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of your lips. In conclusion, we trace our National Thanksgiving Day to a 1621 celebration. That's 400 years ago. That's 400 years ago. To a 1621 celebration where the Plymouth settlers held a harvest feast after a successful growing season along with the Native Americans in that area. You've heard these stories before. At least I'm hoping you're hearing that and sharing that in our educational systems and so forth. But the point is, I want to believe that this was not the first time they gave thanks to God. We cite that as the beginning of our National Thanksgiving Day, but this ragtag group of people were followers of Jesus. And though many of the settlers died from malnutrition and sickness and scurvy and during that horrible winter of 1620, resulting in only 44 survivors from the 102 original Mayflower passengers, because of who they were in Christ, I want to believe that they brought sacrifices of praise, as our key text today indicates that we all should. I have no direct knowledge of that. I just want to believe that they did. Because, my friends, that's what walking with Jesus brings to your life. Won't you do that same today? This season of the year, continually in your life as well. His life is not far. I should say, this life is not fair, is what I meant to say. It's often painful. And sometimes things just stink. But Jesus is greater. His sacrifice is final. His presence is continuous, and His help is at the ready. His hope is enduring. His forgiveness is comprehensive, and His love is never ending. Bring your sacrifice of praise to Him. Let's bow together. Help us in this hour, Lord, to have the profundity of your word planted deeply within us, so that we would know that in spite of difficulties, in spite of hardships, we're not evaluating you, Lord. We're saying this is who you are, though the clouds be dark and the rains mighty and the storm blowing through our hearts and minds and lives. That you love us. That your love endures forever. We bring our sacrifice of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.